God the Father and God the Son, and Jesus plays a role where he sacrificially comes to this earth. He dies for us, he rises for us, and he is our Savior, submitting under the Father. And that submission does not take away his equality. While there is an under in role, there is an absolute equality. Please hear me. While there is an under in role, there is an absolute equality. And that's what we're talking about.
More of him, less of me. That's my cry, that's my plea.
Completely His, the teaching ministry of Summit Point Church and Senior Pastor Tim Harkness. What is God's purpose for members of the church? What does it look like to be an on-fire member? Well, if you have your Bible, we are in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 15 for part 2 of the message, Members Purposeful. Here's Pastor Tim.
He says, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness. But with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. Like, man, go way beyond just the reveal. Go way beyond just the, it's all about me and what I'm putting on for the day. Make sure that while you do appreciate the beauty God has given, that you also are saying, Lord, I long for the beauty to start inside. And may it well up from my heart on fire for you. May it spill out to what clothing I choose, how I do my hair, whatever. Choices go there, that might express the love I have for my God, and may it end up affecting my hands and my words as my very works spill over into this world. May I make my world a worship of my God, and may that show. That's all he's really saying. Make your worship for Jesus Christ your world. It'll show. It'll show on all the decisions and all the fronts and all the ways, okay? And make sure your focus brings a huge drawing near to Jesus Christ. You know, this past week, I was talking to Megan, my older daughter. We were texting back and forth a little bit. You know, she was due last Thursday. She's still due sometime. And so that's coming along. But we were texting back and forth, and she said, boy, I just miss the fire in the backyard. When we were able to sit back there, and we didn't do it very often, but being able to have a fire in the backyard and cook some s'mores, and you're just talking, and in this cool weather, right, it just brings it out in you. It was amazing, because when she had texted that, I thought the exact same thought about 2 hours earlier. It was nice and cool out. I'm like, man, we should be doing a fire soon. Like, getting near a fire when it's cool, where you draw up close and you feel that heat. Can you feel it? Just put yourself there. Where you feel the heat of the fire as maybe the wind blows it a little at you. And you can feel that as you're just now talking and laughing and interacting that night. As you stare into the fire, and you can see like the oranges and the yellows, depending on the kind of wood you buy, maybe the blues or the greens that come on there, right? You could see the different colors. Every once in a while, like the wood would crack and pop, and it would release some sparks that would float up into the air. Right? You would feel the breeze blow and the smoke that would bring just that very specific smell of bonfire, right? Drawing near to the fire and warming up with one another. Man, I'm telling you, he's like, draw near to the heat of the fire that is Jesus Christ. Draw up close. Draw the heat from him. Be able to enjoy in every facet of what you're bringing in all parts of your life and living. Make it a warm connecting with your God. May he be the fire you draw near to. May that change and rock your world of worship. Guys, may that rock your prayer life. Girls, may that rock every choice you make from the inside that fills up, spills over, affects even the clothing choice, even the word choice. May God get all the glory. That's what we're talking about. The privilege to draw near. And all of God's people said, amen, man. All right. Point number two, see the value of men and women and recognize the biblical role of headship. see the value of men and women, and recognize the biblical role of headship. Now, as we get into this passage, I'm just going to tell you, this was the one passage where I'm like, am I sure I really want to preach 1 Timothy? Okay, so just so you've all heard me say that ahead of time, and now we're going to ease through this passage and we're going to make sense out of it, because there's some things that just aren't properly taught, and we're going to walk through this very clearly, all right? So here we go. First, it starts out, let a woman learn. Know this, ladies, God loves you. He longs for you to be discipled. Let a woman be discipled. That's what that means. Let her be able to grow in me. Let her be able to know me. Let her be able to have a passion for me. From the youngest to the oldest, both male and female, God desires to disciple all people. And ladies, he loves you with all he's got. And he's like, let's make sure that our ladies are growing up in me with all they have. Okay? Let a woman learn. And then he says, quietly, with submissiveness. Oh, great. Well, that's really fun to hear. What does that mean, right? Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I'm just telling you, one of the worst translations I read on this says, let a woman learn in silence. That is not what this word means. That is not it. Everybody say, not that. Okay, there's a different word for that, and that's not the word chosen. The word chosen here means, literally, it means to be settled, not unruly. It does mean to be quieter. The word quiet is a good capture of that. But it has more to do with a heart that's not pushing against, not rebelling. It's basically a respect of headship, if you will. All right? Now, this says, let women learn quietly, but just so you know, there are other passages that say, and let men also live quietly. Did you know that? That's a piece that I hadn't heard taught before, and I think it's a little bit of a miss. 1 Thessalonians 4:10 says, we urge you, brothers, to aspire to live quietly. Same exact word. We urge you, brothers, all believers, to live this quietly, not unruly, respectful, not pushing against leadership. That's all believers, man. Here he's calling out to the ladies, and he's like, keep doing that as you're learning in the church. Make sure there's a respect in that, and it's going along that way. Okay, all of us called to live this quieter, respectful, settled life. And yeah, ladies, he's calling that same word out now here as the discipleship piece. He's like, make sure you're not bumping against headship and pushing hard. 1 Thessalonians 4:10 says that. Just so you know, 2 Thessalonians 3:12, same thing. Same word, all believers. Make sure that you live quietly. So both men and women in that regard. So now he steps up a level. He says, I do not permit women to teach or to exercise authority over a man. I do not permit women to teach or exercise authority over a man. And so again here he's saying, look, let's not upside down the headship. I'm doing something. Hang on. There's a few guys that I'm going to be raising up to doing some leadership in the church, and they will give answer to me. Hebrews 13, by the way, one of the most sincere passages I take to heart every single day of my life. Hebrews 13, we as leadership give account for what's going on, and we will answer to God for it. It's a huge calling. And he's like, I'm doing something, hang on. And as I'm raising up these few, let the headship lead, let them speak. Don't buck against that. Hang on. He's like, ladies, make sure you're showing a respect to that. I don't want the teaching over men or the authority over men, right? And so in this case, very specifically, this is guys would be teaching to all the church, men and women. Ladies can be teaching to women within the church and to our kids within the church. And by the way, and they bring it. Love the women that we have leading and teaching in huge ways with high skill set. Absolutely important that we grasp that. And our teaching and our leadership, we celebrate the women in this church that have high abilities and strengths, and we raise them up to where it is so appropriate, and we let them go on fire. Ready? And all of God's people said, man, don't miss that. That's a huge deal. But there are a few positions that are called for headship that are asking, God is asking for that to be male. And very specifically, he says that he's asking that women not teach, basically in the common collection of the body, the men and women together. He says, rather she is to remain quiet. Man, I'm just telling you, every one of these words can be so offensive if you read it out of context. Remember, though, every single believer called to live quietly. And now also the statement again, the reiteration, and she is to remain quiet. By the way, along with all of the others who are not in headship, right? Super important that we grasp that. This somehow by some has become an abuse down on a specific gender, and it is absolutely unacceptable. But it is lifting up as high as God so allows and seeing those in headship taking their proper role along the way as well. It says, rather, she is to remain quiet. Again, not unruly, respectful in the midst, okay? I'm just telling you, our society has a real problem with the words I just said, period. Many in here, you might be struggling even hearing the words. And I get it. And I'm pleased asking you to hear my tenderness in what I'm saying. And with high responsibility, there's a few of us that take these positions of headship, and we work together and we love each other, okay? It's a big deal. And as we walk through this, I just want to make it clear. Society teaches this statement. Your role defines your value. Your role defines your value. You say to somebody, hey, what do you do? Or who are you? Tell me a little bit about yourself. And the first thing you do is you start describing your job. Like our role defines our value. That is wrong, okay? Our role is not our value. Really, Tim, do you got a biblical proof for that? Yeah. So God the Father, God the Son, right? They're equal, both of them, completely divine. The full Godhead character pouring out in the two of them, right? God the Father and God the Son, completely equal. And yet Jesus puts his will underneath God the Father. He submits his will and says, I'm going along with that. God the Father and God the Son, and Jesus plays a role where he sacrificially comes to this earth. He dies for us, he rises for us, and he is our Savior, submitting under the Father. And that submission does not take away his equality. While there is an under in role, there is an absolute equality. Please hear me. While there is an under in role, there is an absolute equality. And that's what we're talking about. There is an absolute equality and a value between men and women. There's just a role that's being played in the midst of it. And that's what God is calling us to. It's a huge deal that we grasp that. And like I said, I love the strength that we have in our church. I do want to make this clear. This passage, by the way, does not apply into the secular world. All right? This is not something that's like, oh, there can't be a female CEO or something like that. It doesn't apply into the secular world in that way. This is for the church and really for the families of those in the church with headship for the guys in that regard. All right. He says, four. Like, here's the reason. And let me give you the reason. Now, there's a lot of people that'll teach. Yeah, I understand this passage says that, but it's cultural. Just throw it out. It's cultural, man. You just got to get rid of it. And I understand why you want to do that, and I definitely understand our culture pushes against this. But please hear me. His next statements tell you why, and they're not cultural, they're theological. They're not locked in time to where he was. They are timeless. So here we go. He says, for Adam was formed first, and then Eve. His reasoning for doing this is saying, God created the world. And when God created this world, he created it with an order, a purpose. He started out and he created Adam first, and then he created Eve. By the way, when he created Adam, he was like, this is good. When he created Eve, he's like, this is very good, right? So there's a partnership in this. There's a helpfulness in this. There's an equality of value in this. But there is an order in this. God did create Adam first. He's like, there is an order. Let's respect that order. Let's understand what God's doing, even in creation. This theological truth, by the way, this is a huge deal that when you read this scripture, you read this appropriately, all right? When you read this scripture, you absolutely understand that I have to see the theological nature to it. And he's like, just so we're clear. So in the four, Adam was formed first and then Eve. There was a completeness in things, but there was absolutely an order in things. And then he says, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. He's like, Eve fell. She went for the apple first. All right, let's just be super clear. and then Adam fell. We all get that, right? So guys, if you're in here and you're like, yeah, Eve's the one who, Romans 5:12, Paul's like, and Adam fell willfully. Eve was deceived. Adam willfully fell as headship. And from now on, sin gets passed down to every single human being. That's Adam's thing, okay? So just so we're super clear, God's clear in all of Scripture, whole counsel. Adam takes the blame here on a ton of it. But he's like, Eve, just so you know, you did fall first on that. And there was a headship being broken in this, a breaking out against. And in the breaking out against headship, it says Eve was deceived and she became a transgressor. Just so we're clear, when it says became a transgressor, that word became, it's in the what's called the perfect form. It means it happened in the past and it's still true today. The results are still going on. So he's really creating a really bad problem. There was deception, there was transgression, and it's still in effect today. That's what he's saying with that verb form. It's a big problem. What do we do with it? And so he says, yet. By the way, that's the hope statement. He's like, there was this sin that happened and it's affecting even to today, but hang on, there's hope. He says, yet she will be saved. Right? Thank the Lord. There is salvation that is offered up for sin. We can have forgiveness. Absolute hope in that. Now let's read the whole phrase. Yet she will be saved through childbearing. What the? Right? What in the world? Like, it is fair for you to go, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to wait for Sunday to hear what that means. Right? And I'm just telling you, there's a lot of thoughts on this passage. I do have a lockdown thought of my own on it. I'm going to walk it through here with you, all right? But I will say there's at least 4 or 5 different thoughts on this, so this isn't the only one. But I'm not going to go through all 5. Here's what I'm going to say instead. There are times when we read Scripture where we form a doctrine or a theology off of a passage we're reading, okay? And that's when there's a really clear, obvious statement to the passage and we're like, form the doctrine on that. And when you have a very unclear passage, you're not sure what it means, let's not make that a time to come up with a brand new theology, right? So no theology coming out of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. There's no theology. It may support some theology we see elsewhere, but no new theology. You understand how I'm saying that? That's a really big deal when it comes to reading your Bible. Don't try to develop a new theology out of a very unclear passage, okay? So here we go, as we're now not going to develop a new theology, but we're going to explain this passage, all right? He says, and she will be saved through childbearing. First of all, what it does not mean. It does not mean, everybody say not. It does not mean have a baby go to heaven. Okay, super clear on that, right? Glad you're laughing. That means no duh, right? All right. So let's answer this. Where it says through childbearing, the word through usually means the method of. Like this is helping to bring it along. It doesn't say by. There's a different word for that. So this is kind of the method of. This is bringing it along. It's ushering in the salvation is the childbearing. Ushering it in refers to how Jesus would have entered the world to save. This throughness. And it says through childbearing. What it actually says in the original language is, ready? This could be worth writing down, by the way. It says through the childbirth. That's what it actually says in the original language. Saved through the childbirth. One singular, definite article, birth. Very specific. I believe this very specifically is tying to Jesus Christ and him being born into this world. God Almighty stepping into this world, God becoming man. That's what it's talking about. Do I have any support for that? Yeah, I do actually. I think Paul is showing us Genesis 2 and Genesis 3 in two kind of quirky verses, if you will, all right? So what he's actually saying, Genesis 2, God created Adam, then Eve, right? Genesis 3 verses 1 through 8, Eve broke out. There was deception that happened from Satan. Eve broke out. She ended up sinning with that choice, and it has huge effect. And the effect of sin is described through all the rest of chapter 3. For ladies, it says it actually is going to bring pain in childbearing. Pain in childbearing, right? And it says that there is still the childbearing, but there's pain in that. And it says something else. In chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "But the seed of the woman will crush the head of Satan." It says that the seed, singular, of the woman will crush the head of Satan. This is a talk about Jesus Christ. Everybody agrees Genesis 3:15 is a pointing forward to the Messiah hope and him coming. And he's like, ladies, hear me. There was a collapse down because of the deception. But get this, you get to have the ultimate role in ushering in the King of the universe to this world. The privilege of ladies to be able to bring in through childbearing. It's not speaking that every woman should or needs to. In fact, 1 Corinthians 7 says the exact opposite. Man, I would love it if you can remain single. Your worship will have that much more focus. 1 Corinthians 7, a huge validator that this isn't about somehow get married, have a baby. This is all about God giving privilege to women to be able to usher in the King of the universe. He's like, get this, through the childbirth, there is awesome salvation. And in case you misunderstand and you're like, well, somehow just being a woman then makes me saved, or somehow having a baby makes me saved. And he's like, let me make it clear though. And he closes it down. He says, they will be saved if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. Whenever you see the word saved, you see the word faith with Paul. Saved by faith. Saved by faith. This is a saved by faith statement and the privilege of ushering in the Messiah through childbirth. It's a huge deal. That's what I believe this passage means. That's my position on it. I'm not saying my position won't change in a future point in time. This is a very complicated little verse. And in fact, many will actually say this is one of the most complicated verses in the New Testament because it just doesn't have a lot of context to be able to derive from. But here's the deal. The hope we have in him, that Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, sitting under God the Father, ended up being ushered into this world and he became our King. He lived perfectly. He died on the cross. He rose again. Jesus Christ for me. He is my King. And ladies, you have a huge privilege in being a part of that. Your gender cannot have that taken away. Yes, I use that word. Cannot be taken away. There is male and there is female, and ladies, you have a privilege that no guy can take, and that's it. And that's what he's saying. Know this, there's privilege, and God loves you, and God is saving humanity, and he's got a plan through Jesus Christ. May God get all the glory. Ready? And all of God's people said, guys, may we be praying. May we let our hearts well up with a worship that spills over in prayer. Ladies, may we let the hearts fill up and spill over. May it affect how we dress. May it affect how we talk. May it affect our passion for God doing a work in our lives. And may we always understand there is no role that defines who I am. I am a child of God. I am giving my heart to him. And all of God's people said,
thanks for listening to Completely His, the teaching ministry of Summit Point Church and Senior Pastor Tim Harkness. If you are interested in hearing or viewing today's sermon in its entirety or for additional sermons, please visit www.summitpoint.org. We invite you to join us for our Sunday services at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 4:30 p.m. To register for a limited capacity service, please visit www.summitpoint.org. Alternately, you can view a live stream of our services. Find our online stream on our website, www.summitpoint.org, or by going directly to summitpoint.online.church. That's summitpoint.online.church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you'll tune in again next week as we seek to be completely His.